countdown clock for every staff in America is on. The portal about to close. By the time this podcast hits your apps, it probably will be closed. This has been a wild month and a half. Lots of names flying in. Rumor mill all over the place, as was just addressed before we hopped on here. Kevin and Brad winding down the CBB Central podcast. I have a couple more episodes for you as the offseason goes, but as we announced last week, sort of moonlighting this thing as both of us kind of move on. Still will be texting on. I will be tweeting Brad's thoughts as best I can. But yeah, like it's been chaotic, and there's been some big names go in, some names that like you sort of didn't expect back at their own schools, but maybe now are open to college options. I think Norchad Omier would fit that bill. Coleman Hawkins would fit that bill. Again, some of these guys will not end up making it to college. They're just keeping their options open. But a lot of names flying in, some rumors as well today. Bryce Hopkins tampered with seemingly by another Big East school that ruffled some feathers with Kim English. Kim English with a all-time gangster tweet. I'll read it for you guys. But look, I mean, if I wish a lot of sportsbook.com had lines for first coach to get into a fight with another Big East coach this year, because guys, I have a feeling Kim English might be in the mix of it. He tweeted, to all the tampering head coaches and assistant coaches and flunkies, just call me and let me know if you want to recruit our players. Leave them and their families alone. Call me. I'll see if they want to play for your programs. Y'all have my number. Brad, you're the resident friar. What do you think of that tweet?
I mean, does Kim call opposing coaches when he tampers? Like, did he call up Billy Lang? Like, hey, buddy, like, it was great having that secret scrimmage with you this year. Just calling to let you know that we're stealing your center. Have a nice day. Bye.
I do think there is a level of like everyone believes there is some level of like rules of engagement to the portal. For instance, I know like the way that Wisconsin swiped John Tanjay away from New Mexico ruffled some feathers. But at the same time, like no one is fully innocent, which is why it is very rare for coaches to, if nothing else, name names about tampering. They will complain about tampering. They will not name names about tampering because they know that their dirty laundry will be aired very quickly as well.
And, you know, I'm glad Hopkins is back. I spent all afternoon lining up replacements. I was looking at Berke Bientensel, Matt Cross, TJ Power, Kashawn Pryor. I was scouring the T-Rank portal for all the power forwards out there.
And, Dylan Mitchell. And here we thought that Brad was winding down his ability to follow the sport. He's just dialed in with names. Always dialed in.
Not the Providence stuff, but yeah. I spent the car ride home from work thinking about how Dylan Mitchell would work as a non-shooting power forward.
Good thing we don't have to worry about that.
And I was like, you know, I think I'd rather have Matt Cross or TJ Power. I'm going to move Dylan Mitchell down my power rankings. But yeah, that's all. It's all moot now.
I do like Matt Cross. I find it weird that he has like no recruitment in the Northeast. It felt like he would be like a Big East player. He's very tough, can make shots. Like he would have been like a needle mover for me for UConn.
Well, yeah, I was just about to say if a Caravan doesn't come back, which he's got it. UConn's got to, you know, pay him the Umar Ballo money, you know, the $1.2 million, whatever it takes to get Caravan back. He'll be your best player. He'll average like 17 points a game and be a first-round draft pick.
Yeah, I think UConn's a good place to start. I think we're going to try to just go by, you know, league by league, essentially, and give you an update. You know, there's too much going on. You know, we've been 2 weeks since we last podcasted. I think it's probably best to just go about it this way than any other. Like, I think what I would say with UConn, and I know, like, Bovada and a lot of places, they're going to have them as a favorite to win the championship again. Like, I think they're going to be very good again because it's Dan Hurley. And I think shooting is a premium, which they certainly have. But I think I'm kind of worried about, like, the dynamism of this lineup that they've built. And certainly Caravan would help, even though he is not the most explosive player, just because I think he's going to be a guy who can average 16, 17 points a game. But the additions of Aiden Mahaney, Liam McNeely, and Terrace Reed, while important, I don't think they all of a sudden add the oomph to make this like a true like top tier title team. And I think they'll be ranked in the top 10. I have no issue with doing that. But I'm curious your thoughts. Like, are you a little underwhelmed by what they've assembled? Or maybe not underwhelmed. Maybe underwhelmed is unfair. Just like the reality of what they have to replace makes it hard to do a lot better than that.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think if you compare it to last year, right, we looked at the guys coming back. Tristan Newton, we said, okay, he's a second-year transfer. He showed a lot of promise. You know, people ragged on him for not being looking the part of a starting point guard, but with another year under Dan Hurley, you know, he could make a jump. We looked at Klingon and we said he's going to make a massive jump. We said Caravan's going to make a jump. Then Diarra was someone who was in the rotation the year before, kind of fell out toward the end. And then Samson Johnson was supposedly supposed to be starting before he got hurt at the four, if you remember that. So we saw a lot of growth there, right? This caliber of returner on paper is much lower than last year's, right? But I think that's where we're kind of missing the forest for the trees. Everyone's talking about, you know, Mahaney and McNeely, but I think we really should be talking about Solomon Ball and Jalen Stewart, right? I think this whole roster was kind of built to keep, you know, Caravan, Johnson, and Diarra in big roles in their third or fourth years with the program, to keep Solomon Ball and Jalen Stewart in stores to give them a bigger role. And then add a little shooting and add a big man with eligibility who can kind of take over for Samson Johnson after this year. So I think UConn did all that. I do agree that their talent level is a little underwhelming. I think probably if you could have swapped out Aiden Mahaney with, I don't know, who's the best portal two guard out there even. I mean, do you like Aiden Mahaney over, like, trying to think of a good one.
It is hard. Like, I'm...
Like Cannon Carlisle?
I think I would have preferred, like, a Dez Claude or someone like that that can, yeah, like, really touch the paint. Like, I think that, to me, is my issue with the Mahaney thing. And really with the McNeely thing, right? Like, so I think you're spot on. Like, I think your assessment that Hurley has been, like, very, very protective of the culture, very protective of the returners, trusting in his ability to develop these guys is 100% true. I think it may well pay off, but I do think if you're looking at this group and you're thinking about them as a, you know, title team next year, you're going to need a lot from Solo Ball, a lot from Jalen Stewart, and I think you're going to need something from Amon Noel right away. You might get that. But that's, I think, really what you're betting on more than, oh my God, Aiden Mahaney's going to come in and beat Cam Spencer. Because Aiden Mahaney's not a great finisher. He's not like a super, super like physical guard the way that Cam was. And McNeely's a good, really, really good shooter, and he's a complete player. But he's not like a superstar, I don't think, next year. So I think it'll be interesting. Like, I really do. Like, I think they're going to be very good. I think the shooting will put a lot of pressure on the defense. But I think they're going to be a lot worse defensively, because without Klingon and without Castle, that's going to be a big step back. I think they're going to be a little less dynamic offensively because they won't have the paint touch guys. And so I'm curious how they navigate that without, again, huge jumps from Ball and Stewart. So we'll see what happens there. And as you said, the Caravan thing is a huge thing looming over this group. Like, where will he be? Can they get him back? It seems like he probably can get drafted if he wants to come back, maybe even get a guaranteed contract. And this draft probably gives him the best chance for that, because it's not a great draft. But if you're Alex Caravan, you have the opportunity to come back, be the guy one more time. I think he probably does it. But if not, like, what are we doing? Like, are we going to TJ Power? Are we going to Matt Cross? Like, they need those guys, but there's not going to be as many of those guys out there. And they're not going to be able to do, you know, I think if you remember last year, one of the reasons the Cam Spencer thing kind of materialized late was they were still sort of floating with Andre Jackson. They thought there was a chance he'd be back. And if he was back, you know, they at least could, you know, they could play Castle at the two and Jackson at the three and, like, piece it together. Now, looking back, though, in a rough spacing lineup. But, like, I think Hurley is very cognizant of, like, all right, like, what does a rotation look like? It doesn't want to, like, mess it up too much. And there won't be those late portal entrants as much this year. So I think I'd be a little worried about that. But I do think that Caravan, if nothing else, you want to know with Caravan sooner than later if he's going to go.
And, you know, feels like a lot of these guys who in past years would have been written off as, like, they've peaked stock wise. Like, if you can get drafted, just go. It feels like these guys are coming back and really improving. I mean, you look at someone like Tristan Newton, and in like the late 2010s, that guy is leaving 100% of the time and going to Europe, going to the G League. Now he's played his way into maybe being a second round pick. You look at Klingon again in the 2013 to 2019 era. Klingon's going being the 25th pick. All right, he comes back. He could be a top 10 pick now. And if you look at Caravan, right, he had a bigger role this year. He improved a ton defensively, but it was still kind of like that stretch four, kind of a fifth man, the fourth or fifth option on offense.
Yeah.
I think he has more, especially with his physicality and, you know, playing more with his back to the basket. I think he can unlock, you know, that 16, 17 point per game scoring and be, you know, first team all Big East player. And then, you know, coming out next year, averaging 17 points, 8 rebounds, and shooting 38% from three on high volume, he's even more coveted.
I'm with you. But we'll be worth tracking. I think UConn is, like, I think if you graded their offseason so far, it's like B+, A-.
Yeah, for me, it's just, instead of Mahaney, they could have gotten somebody better.
You probably, you needed Mahaney, I think you needed, like, a Mahaney. I don't even think Mahaney is not good enough. I think if you were going to get Mahaney, you wanted like a more traditional, or you wanted a more like physical slashing wing instead of McNeely.
You mentioned Desmond Claude earlier, if you want to move to Xavier. Because I think that they've had a great offseason. The Traore ad was interesting because I think that kind of signals that Jerome Hunter is washed. And he did tear his Achilles pretty recently, right?
Yeah, it was in January, I think. January, February.
So I think we have to kind of assume he's out, at least, right?
Yeah, I had him in the on the bench before, so.
So we'll start Fremantle and Hughley, going back to the big front court of Fremantle and Nungy from Sean Miller's first year. You'll have Traore off the bench. Dalen Swain, I thought, played pretty well last year. He can play the three and the four. I think that maybe they could take a flyer on a combo forward, you know, like a young high upside guy. If there's one,
but they have a lot of these, like, they have a lot of these like shooting guards, and then they have bigs. It'd be nice to have like a nice 6'6", 6'7" type of dude.
Well, that's Swain, right?
Right.
And then in the backcourt, you mentioned McKnight is a huge returner. He's probably gonna be one of the more underrated players in the Big East, just because Xavier was kind of all over the place this year. And then you'll pair him with two of Conwell, Maddox, and Foster from Furman. Maddox and Conwell can both shoot the lights out from Toledo and Indiana State, respectively. So three good mid-major programs. Trey Green is back. That's super exciting. Small scoring guard. He and Swain both had flashes last year, and I really like this group. Like top 25 for me, I think.
Yeah, I think they'd be worth a sprinkle on Bovada whenever we get like early Big East futures. Like, I think if you could get them at a big price, I think they have a chance to be really good. I think they've had a really positive offseason so far. Conwell, I think, is a stud, like a total stud. Him and McKnight, like, that's a monster backcourt. I don't love Hughley. I wish they had done a little bit more with that center spot. Like, it feels like they got two okay players instead of one, like, really, really good one. But, you know, it's hard. They're hard to get, right? Like, I mean, I'm looking through the Big East, and I'm seeing, like, you know, outside of Kalkbrenner, like, I'm not even, like, floored by Terrace Reed. But, like, Iwachukwu, I thought, was a bit of a reach. Isondeko is good, not great. Ben Gold, Sorber right now is the penciled in guy at Georgetown. They'll presumably get one. DePaul, like there's not a ton of centers out there other than Kalkbrenner. So I don't think it's a huge disadvantage for Xavier. But
and I had seen some Xavier fans mention trying to get in on Ugonna Kingsley, which I think that would have been a home run, but.
Sounds like he's SEC bound.
But I saw Alabama, but then I also saw maybe Cliff going to Alabama. So there's still some. Yep, they both wouldn't go there. So.
Yeah. Let's see. Big East. Let's just kind of work our way through the rest of the Big East. Creighton. I think you have to like the moves that they've made so far with Pop Isaacs and Jemiah Neal. Maybe shaky-ish personalities. Or at least like dice roll personalities. But like, I think both those guys really fit stylistically. Right. Isaac gives you the shot making that they will lose with Alexander. Jemiah Neal, big athletic wing who can make shots and defend. And then seems like Kalkbrenner trending towards return.
And then they have one spot left now. Maybe like a guy who can play 1-3, maybe what Jonathan Lawson was supposed to be. You know, take a flyer on somebody like that.
They should have recruited Kamani Winsu.
Or like Jan Vade.
Yes.
Something like that.
But I think they've done a nice job. Got Fred King back. Like, they generally, like, they kept some of these guys that I think are valuable, right? Like, Jason Green, Fred King. Like, again, are those guys studs? By no means. Trout. But those guys, like, it's better than having to pay guys to play those roles, right? Like, Creighton would have had to pay a couple hundred thousand dollars to get a backup center to Kalk. So to get Fred King for like whatever he was getting is fine.
Yeah, King was in the portal. He had a rough year this year. Assume the interest was not there for high level teams.
It was going to go mid major and play was the plan.
I mean, if his knees are still an issue, he should just redshirt this year. And then have 2 years to play. So then we have the interesting duo of the cash strapped Seton Hall and Butler, at least supposedly cash strapped. I think both are going to make it out okay just because of the depth of the portal this year. Butler's kind of weird because, like, is Patrick McCaffrey going to come off the bench?
So Butler's in a really weird spot because they recruited these fours very early in the portal, right? And again, if you're not talking to every single staff, you are inevitably going to have to guess based on who they're recruiting, like what their direction is, right? Butler's direction I perceived was like, okay, we're going to play bigger this year. Like we got Kaiser and McCaffrey, like they're going to play the four. We're going to bump Telford and Brooks down. But then they got like Colby King and they brought back Biz Jack and they have Landon Moore and they're recruiting like one or two more guards. Like they're theoretically, I think they're right there for Jaden Shoot. I think they probably would want like a true point guard too, but we'll see. Like, but they also are like really, really shaky at the five right now.
Yeah. They need to cut, you know, no more guards, right? Landon Moore and Colby King are going to be your point guards. I mean, that's just kind of what it is. You don't need Shoot. You just got Biz Jack back.
Biz Jack may wind up being a little bit of a point guard for them, too.
Yeah. You just got Biz Jack back. Like, Shoot and him are similar roles. You need, like, an athletic five. Mentioned to you earlier, Jameel Reynolds is a portal guy who I really like who's still out there. You know, any big that's still available who can complement Screen and Capte.
They should pitch Jaden Shoot on bringing Christian Reeves along for the ride.
Yeah, Christian Reeves would be pretty interesting.
But like,
Screen's
okay.
Not bad. Capte's not bad. They just need like an athletic guy in there as well.
Yeah. I think they're probably like an NIT team still, but it wouldn't surprise me if they're a tournament team.
Yeah, Landon Moore's not bad. I mean, Colby King had a solid year at Tulane in, you know, one of the strongest mid-major conferences. So they're in a pretty decent spot, but like with the depth of the portal, everyone should be in a pretty decent spot.
Okay.
And then Seton Hall, they just need to wait out and see who loses musical chairs and who wants to play at a high major.
Yeah, Middleton's a good get. Oligbe, I think, will be fine fit-wise. They definitely need a five. Gus Yalden's probably not the starter. I think Coleman will have a breakout year. They need a point guard. Like, they need everything. I just think, again, like, when you don't have a ton of resources and you have to flip so many spots, it's tricky.
Right.
Really tricky. And I don't know, like, what the path is necessary to get this to be, like, a tournament-level team without Shaheen just, like, really out-coaching everyone.
But, I mean, like, they have Sean Jenkins visiting. Like, Coleman's going to have a breakout year. Like, they just need to take a bunch of flyers. And people will rank them, you know, by ninth in the Big East, maybe 10th in the Big East. But they did that this year, and they were able to piece together something, right?
Yeah.
And you look at the teams that presumably still have some big pieces to go, with Georgetown and St. John's. Georgetown has Sean Stewart visiting now. I guess they see him as a four, right? And they want a five as well.
Yeah, Cliff.
We'll see if they can get Cliff.
Probably I thought not. Georgetown taking Curtis Williams was smart.
He's someone who I was telling everyone was going to go to Georgetown from the very start of the season. Cooley really wanted him at Providence. He visited but went to play for Kenny Payne.
And questionable judgment.
Yeah, he's a shooter who can't shoot. Like, that was the discussions we were having based off his EYL numbers, EYBL numbers when he was considering Providence. Supposed to be a wing shooter. He shoots like 25% from three in AAU and then didn't shoot it great last year. But if him coming off the bench, if you can get an upgrade at the four spot, I love the Micah Peavy move. They needed that toughness. Styles' loss was, I think, bigger than people expected, or you know, bigger than people realize. And then I guess if you could add like a combo guard, you know, play behind Epson Mack and maybe a COVID year mid-major guy who's willing to take a smaller role, then Georgetown could be in decent shape again.
Yep.
And then for St.
John's going to get what? Omir and Kadari?
Add them to the list of guys that they're supposedly going to get, right? But they have, you know, people really like Aaron Scott.
I love Aaron Scott.
Great. Great defensive player. RJ Lewis is a stud. Zubi Ejiofor and Iwachukwu center combo should be good. You still have Wilshire. So they need like two starters and then like a transfer for off the bench. And then they should be solid as well.
You know, yeah, I think the only thing you'd be really concerned about in the Big East other than DePaul is Villanova, excuse me.
And that's another one where, like, if they can get Armstrong and Dixon back, they'll be fine. But
yeah, they're not that far away from being pretty good. But right now they suck.
Right, but all 10 teams minus DePaul should be fine based on the roster. And they all can't be fine. And anyone who puts DePaul not in 11th is just not being serious.
They're going to be atrocious.
I've seen a lot of people put them ahead of Butler, Seton Hall, or Georgetown. Like, that's just not going to happen.
No, they're going to be really bad. Like, if Seton Hall completely whiffs on all these, then there's, like, a small chance. But, like, my God. But, yeah, it's Big East.
Yeah.
ACC, let's see. We're not going to go every team. Boston College is really struggling. Lost everybody. Got Deion Brown and Chad Venning. Don't think that really moves the needle.
Brown looked good. I was in favor of Providence taking Brown.
I actually like Brown. I think he's a good player, but like right now he's probably their best player, him and Venning.
Yeah. It was funny. I saw a Boston College fan be like, "Why are we losing all our players? Like, what's wrong with Boston College?" It's like, you don't understand why players would want to leave.
I guarantee they have like bad NIL.
Yeah, they have no fans. Of course they have bad NIL.
And the problem is they haven't actually recruited like high school that great. Like they had that big class with like Chaz Kelly and Donald Hand and all those guys, and they didn't turn out that good. And then like the guys that did turn out good were like McLaughlin, and he's going to Vandy.
Zachary's going to Clemson.
Yeah. So yeah, BC not overly interesting. Cal I think has done a pretty nice job. Love the Petritus ad. Stojakovic was really good to get him. Some of the other guys are a bit of a reach. I like Ola Joseph. They really need like a good point guard. Like, it sounds like they're, like, involved with Rowan Brumbaugh. That'd be a good pickup.
Haven't they already taken, like, 7 transfers?
They've taken, hold on, let's see. Christian Tucker, Andre Stojakovic, Rytas Petraitis, Joshua LeJoseph, Monty Sissoko, BJ Omot, Lee Dort, DJ Campbell. 8 transfers and a JUCO kid, Jeff Nwanko. So they flipped the whole roster. But they've done okay. I don't know how, like, how good is okay, right? Is okay like 17-14? Is okay like a fringe tournament team? Is okay like 16th in the ACC? I don't really know.
Yeah, I don't have a pulse on the ACC standings yet, but
I'm not high on. I'm not super high on them, but I think, like, all things considered, like, with what they lost, I think it could have gotten, like, really, really scary.
Miami was looking like they were in a great spot, and then Wuga Poplar, who would have been, like, an all ACC level player, gets the portal.
Although they did just get Jalen Blackman, who can, like, really, really score.
So yeah, Pack, Jahlil Bethea and Blackman is your starting 1-2-3, with Matthew Cleveland and Lynn Kidd.
Yep. It's not, like, crazy flashy, but it's pretty good. They have Brandon Johnson off the bench. They need, like, 1 or 2 bench guards.
So Austin Schwartz is top 50 recruit.
Yeah.
Kyshawn George is gone, right?
Gone, yes.
Late first round pick.
Everyone's gone except for Nigel Pack, Cleveland, and then Paul Jobet.
Okay.
Let's see. Who else has done anything? And North Carolina getting RJ Davis back was huge.
And then Cade Tyson, I saw him play a lot in high school. He was kind of nondescript. He played with Kreese Isendoko on Team CP3. I wasn't, like, super enthused, but be a great year at Belmont. He can clearly shoot it.
Yeah, I think it's all shooting, right? Like, I don't think he's, like, a crazy, crazy stud at that level. I think he's a good player. Make a shot. He's not the athlete by any means that like his brother was. Hunter Tyson was, like, a legitimate athlete. Cade is, like, is a shooter. They really could use, they need a 5, and they could really use a Duthiero.
Because Harrison Ingram is gone.
Gone.
Trimble's back, so they could do some 3. Well, I mean, so they have Trimble, Cadeau, Davis, Jackson, and Powell.
Yep. No, they're in good shape. They need, like, a true 5, and they could use, like, a versatile defender. But I think they're in pretty good shape. RJ Davis back is huge. I mean, he'll be, you know, one of the 3 candidates for preseason player of the year. Like, him and Cooper Flagg, and then, like, you know, someone like a Caleb Love if he comes back. Someone like that.
Yeah, Caleb Love is not in the draft, right?
He isn't, but it's supposed to be fixed. Norlander said that Bartelstein is on it, his agent. So Duke got Gillis and Malik Brown, which I think we alluded to last pod. Still think they need, like, a paint touch guard. But I think those 2 guys should help them.
So right now, Proctor and Foster are your 2 starters, with Flagg and Gillis and either Mulowach or Brown.
I think it's got to be Mulowach and then Brown off the bench. Hey, but they could use, like, 1 more guard, I think.
Then your bench is filled with dudes. You know, Con Kanupel, Isaiah Evans, both 5 stars.
Yeah. Ngangba, Darren Harris.
Yeah.
They should be fine. Let's see. Georgia Tech's kind of, like, a weird in and out, where Ndongo's testing, Miles Kelly is testing and in the portal. McCollum is there. Nate George is back. They got Luke O'Brien, who I think is, like, a sneaky great addition. Like, they're one of these teams where, like, if Ndongo comes back, if nothing else, they should be, like, pretty competitive and, like, in the mix maybe for an NCAA tournament berth. And if he doesn't, they're, like, totally screwed with, like, no way of fixing it.
Yeah, I mean, they had a weird team this year that was talented on paper. You know, Miles Kelly was seen as a high level guy coming into the year. And Coleman was a great recruit. Reeves was a great recruit. George had a great season. But they just never put it together.
Yeah. Louisville making the right move so far. Still need some like star power, but like Hepburn gives them something solid at the point. You know, Hadley and Traore at the four, Terrence Edwards, Corin Johnson. They need like a true five, and they need some depth. But I think they've done as well as you could have hoped.
I mean, Jaden Cadence, I figured was going there. He's going to Arizona State.
That's a whole wild deal. Like, I think the one thing I would point out with people, like, and I think you probably understand this, Brad, but like, I think other people don't, like, the idea of paying like $1 million to a 17-year-old and having him be your like starting center is like a pretty scary proposition, right?
Yeah.
Like, he's probably not going to be very good next year.
Well, I mean, like, he's probably better than some of these portal centers. Like, he's probably better than Christy Sandoko.
Next year?
You don't think?
I'm not 100% convinced he's, like, a better starting center than Christy Sandoko next year.
Or, like, John Hughley or those guys, you don't think? Yeah.
I mean, maybe. Like, again, like, the upside is certainly a lot higher. I think the thing is what you're paying for year two during year one, but you're gonna have to pay more for year two unless he's awful in year one, right? Like, it's a very risky endeavor, and I think a lot of the other schools were a little bit reticent about paying the asking price once he was like up for bidding, and now Arizona State has like documentary series, and so they're paying him through that.
Yeah, and then Louisville should be able to get great off the board. Right?
You would think. So, I think they're in good shape. Who are you worried about? Virginia Tech is landing relatively well with Hygier Miller, Toby Lawal, Ben Burnham. But again, this is just one of those things. Like, how do I compare Hygier Miller, Rodney Brown, Ben Burnham, and Toby Lawal to, you know, Andre Stojakovic, Redis Petritis, Josh Ola Joseph, and Mati Sissoko? Hard to do.
Yeah, it's just all these teams that add so many transfers, you know, like we said with the Big East, right? Like, literally 10 teams should be fine.
Right, they've got enough players where they shouldn't stink altogether.
Yeah.
I think the teams you're worried about in the ACC right now would be Stanford, who I think has zero hope. I mean, they're taking lacrosse players and, like, guys I've never heard of. They're totally screwed. I think Florida State is, like, sneaky very screwed.
Well, so they still have Taylor Bowen. They still have who did they got a couple of decent portal guys, right?
They've only gotten one portal guy so far, Jerry Deng.
Yeah.
And then they got Malik Ewan from JUCO, who's like the best JUCO player in the country. But like, and they got Daquan Davis as a high school kid, who's very good. But like, right now their roster is Daquan Davis, Chandler Jackson, AJ Swinton, Jerry Deng, Taylor Bull Bowen, Malik Ewan, Christian Nitu, and then like floating whether Jameer Watkins comes back. So that's not a great situation, is it?
Sorry, you had to cut out there.
Oh, sorry. I was just saying, I don't think Florida State's in great shape. They have 6-7 scholarship players plus Jameer Watkins, who I don't think is going to come back. Other teams, you said BC sort of screwed, Florida State sort of screwed, Stanford's definitely screwed. I think NC State could be okay. Notre Dame should make a jump as long as Marcus Burton comes back.
Which Matt has what? 24 hours almost?
What'd you say?
He has 24 hours-ish?
Well, he's in the draft. So that's the thing.
I mean,
good luck. I think you would assume he's back. Matalaka will help them. you know, they need like one or two more portal guys. Sounds like they're in the mix with TJ Power. We'll see if they can get that done. SMU's just got a random collection of dudes. Booby Miller, Cario Aquendo, Johan Treor. Not like a huge fan of that assembly, but like, again, there's a chance. I wouldn't say they're screwed, but Virginia's kind of in trouble. They seem to be striking out with everybody.
Yeah, I think making the tournament was actually bad for them. Like, if they just made the NIT, you know, maybe won their first game, then lost the second game, I think nobody cares. But being so publicly mocked.
It's bad. It seems like it's really hurting them in recruiting. I don't know. I think, again, like, they don't need a ton, do they, Brad? Like, Vanderbilt, like, who does Virginia need?
Well, so what, they have McNeely, they have basically everybody except for Ryan Dunn and Beekman, right? And then no minor.
Right. So I have them as Rhodey, McNeely, Gertrude, Jacob Kofi, the freshman, and Blake Buchanan at the five. So they definitely need a four. They could probably use another five. And they could use another guard.
Hmm. I'm trying to think of all my fours from earlier.
They've swung and missed on everybody. I mean, they were in on Xavier Amos. They were in on Toby Okani. They were in on a bunch of these guys.
I saw that they're going to get a visit for Anthony Dell'Orso.
That'd be smart. But he's a wing. But they just need offensive talent is the biggest thing.
Yeah.
It seemed like Dell'Orso was sort of scrambling after he was going to go to like Xavier or Providence, and then they both filled up. But, yeah, I think that's probably the ACC's general flow at the moment. Like, I'm trying to think of anyone else. Syracuse got Jaquan Carlos, Jair Davis, Eddie Lampkin, that's fine. Pitt got Cam Corin. He should, like, play a role. Damian Dunn should play a role. Either way, let's move on. Big Ten, seems like Illinois is losing all their guys and, like, getting back players who are just fine in return. Like, they got, like, they lose Luke Goody, and then they get Ben Humrickhouse, who's probably better than Luke Goody. And they lose, you know, Dane Danger, but, like, whatever. Like, you know, they have Trey White. Like, this group is okay in its entirety. Like, right now I have Boswell, Rogers, Trey White, Humrickhouse, and Merez Johnson with Kerry Booth off the bench. It sounds like they're going to get, like, one more portal wing and then an international big. So. Indiana finally got their shooter in Goody, though, so that's that'll help them.
So are Booth and Humrickhouse going to play together?
I think you'll start one and bring one off the bench because they really like Trey White, but like maybe Trey White will like not be that good, and they'll have to bench him and like play Booth and Humrickhouse together.
That makes sense.
We talked Indiana last time, won't do too much there. Thoughts on Michigan, Brad? This is like an interesting build. A lot of good players, not a lot of great, it feels like. And they might be playing this too big look with Wolf and Golden, it seems like.
Yes, yeah. Wolf and Golden. Trey Donaldson, I think, is not a bad ad, but it was kind of a weird priority. Seems like they couldn't get John L. Davis into school. But again, this is another team. They haven't separated themselves, but they look like they should be fine. We're going to have a big glut of fine.
Yes. Well, right. At some point, you have to find teams you're betting on like growth from. Right? Like, I'm sitting here, and I'm like, if I like love Reuben Jones, then I'm all in. Right? Or I love like a huge jump from Trey Donaldson. But like, why is that any different from like Nebraska with Raleigh Wooster and Connor Asijan and Bryce Williams and Juwan Gary.
Gavin Griffiths.
Actually, Nebraska's done a pretty good job. They got Wooster. Wooster, Seguin, and Aaron Ulis as like ball handlers. They have Bryce Williams, Gavin Griffiths on the wing. They have Juwan Gary at the four. And then they have Rink Mast and Braxton Mia at the five.
We're going to have literally, 80 to 90% of Power Five is going to think that they're going to make the tournament?
I do think, yeah, everyone's going to have the expectation. Like, Northwestern's probably sitting here like, oh, we got Jalen Leach, and we got some front court help with Keenan Fitzmaurice. Like, we can be a tournament team.
Yeah. I mean, those guys plus Barry Barnheiser and Martinelli. That's three starters, and Barnheiser, an all Big Ten level player from a NCAA tournament team. And then Nicholson's back too, right?
Correct.
So four starters.
Yeah, they've got a lot back. They should be all right. Let's see, some like interesting moves that I've liked so far. Any thoughts? I'm really low on USC. USC has done everything I wouldn't do. They've taken guys that aren't good enough, and they've taken all seniors. So they're going to have to do this again next year when there's way fewer guys in the portal.
I agree. I was looking at their roster earlier today. So their best player is, like, Josh Cohen.
I think the idea will be that Abo and St. Thomas are their best players.
But they just got Terrence Williams, too, from Michigan.
Yeah. And then they need, like, it seems like they might get DJ Wagner just because he's dating Juju Watkins, who's a women's basketball player at USC.
Yeah.
But, I mean, even with DJ Wagner, like, again, once you put DJ Wagner in there and you say it's like DJ Wagner, Bryce Pope, Buzo Agbo, St. Thomas, and Josh Cohen, now you can talk yourself into them being a tournament team. Without it, like, I don't know how you get there.
And I guess that moving forward, like whenever you lose your coach, you just have to expect that the whole team is going to leave. And then it's like, you can't like build a real team. You have to take like 8 or 9 transfers. There's no real freshman to take. There's no real way to balance your roster. You just got to like grab as many people as you can get with your $2.5 million budget.
That's true. A little concerned about Wisconsin. They've, like, scrambled here after losing Storr and Chucky. And wound up with Cam Hunter, who I don't think is good enough.
That's Butler legend, Cam Hunter.
Butler legend. They got Xavier Amos, who's, like, a stretch four, who's, like, some talent, but is probably, like, not really tough enough. And then they got John Tanjay, who's going to go to New Mexico, and is probably like a good Mountain West player. That's a way overpaid for all these guys, but that's its own issue.
That's just, you just got to pay whatever it takes to get the players you want. But you know, it's kind of similar to my thoughts on bye games. Like I was saying the other day, because I think Providence is paying Central Connecticut like $75,000 for opening night. And I was like, that's way too much. And people were like, well, that's just the going rate. And like, well, says who? Like, how did we get to the point where we're paying $75,000 for a team to bus up like 2 hours? Like, what if we paid $65,000? You know, where are these numbers coming from? Like, there's so little incentive to pay this much for a game. And it's the same with players. Like, why does, you know, a starting center cost $300,000? Is this because they said we want $300,000 and teams felt desperate and said yes?
So on the scheduling thing, I actually did have a conversation with someone in the scheduling world, and he said that basically like what he wants to do is he'll get creative, especially with like the teams that are like, you don't really want to buy them, right? Like, not like the like Loyola, New Mexico, Colorado State, where like you'd have to be crazy to buy them, but like the best team in the one bid league that's like hard to get a game. Like Indiana State coming into this year. he said, I think what I'm going to start doing is, like, I'll offer to buy them, but I'll buy them for 30 grand, not 70. And if they're serious, like, if they're serious about, like, we just want the game, they'll do it. And if they won't, they won't.
Yeah, it just seems like somehow we set this precedent that we're paying those $75,000 for a local team to play a game. Like, it's the same thing, too, with, like, you'll see, like, oh, the CEO of Warner Brothers makes, like, $50 million a year. Like, you couldn't get someone to do that job for 45? But, like, where are these huge numbers even coming from? But I think it makes sense if those numbers get driven down.
Let's see. What else is there? Big Ten-wise. Washington feels like it's really riding on getting Great Osabor. Doesn't feel that likely that they will. Any thoughts on the UCLA portal class of what they have? Sebastian Max, Sky Clark, or not Sebastian Max, Sky Clark, Kobe Johnson, Dom Harris, Eric Daly, William Kyle, and Tyler Bilodeau.
I'm a big Kobe Johnson guy. I'm a big Eric Daly guy. And the little I've seen of Bilodeau, I liked. I don't know how or why you'd get both Daly and Bilodeau.
But I thought Bilodeau was going to, like, play some five, but then they took William Kyle. And we're still waiting to see what happens with the De Mara.
Bearcat just portaled today. That's going to be a great pickup for somebody.
Someone's should go. I wonder where Bearcat should go. He should go to St. Mary's.
They just got Maraskis, though, right?
That's true, but he's like a 3-4. Bearcat can be like a true 4.
Well, I would have said Bearcat should go to Wisconsin, but they just got their power forward.
Yeah, they got Amos.
Hmm. Hey, somebody has to go to Virginia.
Honestly, it'd be a good pickup.
Just Dylan go from needs awful, a power forward.
One awful offense to another. Anywhere. Well, I love the Freddie DeLeon at Penn State. That's a great get.
And even Kachienzi, that's the right move on a buy low.
Yeah, they have two young bigs, Kachienzi and then Yannick Konin Niederhauser.
Oh, Ohio State, I think, screwed up letting Akparo walk for Aaron Bradshaw.
That was a mistake. And then they missed on, who do they miss on? Oh, Trey Townsend.
Yeah.
So now they need a four still, and they could use, like, one more guard.
Supposedly Sean Stewart's deciding between Ohio State and Georgetown. He's at Georgetown right now. But they do have Devin Royal. He's a solid prospect. But they could use another four. You are correct.
Yeah, they're in decent shape right now, to be clear. But they also kind of need another five. They need, like, a backup center and a four and maybe one more guard.
The center I'm going to be pushing on everyone is Jameel Reynolds.
You love him.
It was so crazy what Cincinnati did last year. They took two centers who needed waivers, and then they played two centers together with Victor Lockin, like, roaming around the three-point line. Like, this is so ridiculous.
Who would you say right now, like, off the top of your head, should be, like, the Bovada favorite to win the Big Ten? The 18-team Big Ten.
Michigan State's still a piece or two away.
Yeah, I wouldn't say them.
I mean, I'm working my brain through. I mean, is it Purdue? Portal-less Purdue?
I think it's probably Purdue. Braden Smith, Fletcher Lawyer, Miles Colvin, Cam Heidi, Trey Coffin, Wren.
Probably more from Caleb First. I mean, I remember watching him in either U18 or U19, and I thought he was going to be a really nice piece. I remember watching specifically the Purdue-Villanova game from a few years ago and thinking he was going to be a very nice piece, and he's just completely fallen off. But, I mean, for next year, Braden Smith's going to, you know, be an All-American level player. Trey Kaufman-Wren could make the jump to being an All-Big Ten level player. You mentioned Colvin and Heidi. I really like both, especially Heidi. They have some interesting freshmen. They're probably in the best spot, but they're not. I don't even know if they're a top 10 team.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't think there's anyone in the league who is. That's the thing.
Like, I mean, who else could you even pick?
I would be interested in sprinkling like Maryland.
Gillespie, what about UCLA?
Miguel. I wouldn't do UCLA. I think I'd be more interested in Rutgers.
The Rutgers thing feels like a disaster.
Then you just need a five.
Do you like their because they made a bunch of guard additions, right? They got Tyson Acuff, scoring guard, Jordan Durkak, who's like a Paul Mulcahy type, right? And they got somebody else, right?
They got, yeah, they got Martini.
Yeah, from Princeton.
Yes. They need like a true center. Really what they need. They need Cliff Omori. It's really what they want. All right, let's go through to the Big 12. Get through some of these teams real quick. Arizona seems like, again, we said no guarantees, but Caleb Love seems like at least 50-50 to come back. They have Trey Townsend and Tobe Awaka to like be the older guys in the front court. I would imagine KJ Lewis will return. Krivas is like a great upside swing at the five. You've got Sannin and Carter Bryant. Like, this team feels very, very high.
Both Arizona and Houston feel absolutely loaded. And then Kansas, a lot of people are going to have number one.
Agreed.
And then Baylor's looking really good, too.
Yes.
Clearly the best conference. And then Iowa State is an analytic darling.
Yeah. Like,
this is clearly number one
conference. I think you could make a case. You could make a case that, like, the top five teams will be in Big 12. Like, if you said Arizona, Baylor, Kansas, Houston, and Iowa State were the top five, like, who's the team that you're, like, really having to go to bat for? Like, Duke is probably one. Duke or Carolina would be one of them.
Creighton and UConn.
Creighton and UConn. But, like, I'm not convinced that any of those teams are better than those five.
No, I'm not either. And that sets up an interesting scenario where, you know, it's going to be a 16-team league with five, like, top eight teams in the country. Like, is it going to eat itself? Like, it kind of did this year with teams like Cincinnati and Oklahoma that were probably good enough.
Yeah.
And just couldn't get enough traction.
It's going to be a monster. I mean, you feel good about a lot of these teams. I mean, Arizona State, like, they're killing it.
I don't feel great about Colorado or Utah.
Colorado and Utah are in bad shape. So Colorado has gotten two non-Division One guys who are pretty good in Trevor Baskin and Elijah Malone, but their backcourt is like a disaster show.
They must have no money at all. Like, they lost Lampkin to Syracuse, O'Brien to Georgia Tech, Hadley to Louisville. Figure that those would be three of your starters.
Yes. Yeah, they got crushed in the portal. Like, it was understandable when, like, the big names were gonna go pro, but, like, the rotation guys, that's the stuff that's hard. Utah is in brutal shape. The Madsen brothers, I have Jackson Johnson, Keanu Dawes, and Lawson Lovering starting for them, like, that's brutal. I'm approaching concern level with West Virginia, I have to say. They haven't done anything.
So they have Tucker DeVries. They lost Farrakhan. They lost Carissa.
Right now, their rotation is Sincere Harris, KJ Tenner, who's a freshman, Tucker DeVries, Toby Okani, and Imani Hansberry, and then Afri Nave. So they need, like, a true center. They need a legit wing, and they need an upgrade at point guard over Sincere Harris.
And then BYU, I think, might end up being okay. I guess it depends on how good these role players actually are. But they're going to bring back between Hall, Traore, Saunders, and Waterman, basically four starters.
Yeah, they should be fine. They might
scoring two guard.
They might be the team that gets chewed up by the rest of the league. But I think what's really going to happen is that, like, unless some of these teams stick the landing here, you're going to have like a pit of a bottom that, like, nobody beats anyone. Like Oklahoma State, like Arturo Dean, Bryce Thompson, Chai Chai Avery, Robert Jennings, like, they should get killed, right? They should get beat to snot. Utah should get beat to snot. Colorado should get beat to snot. West Virginia.
Oklahoma might.
Oklahoma's, like, not that far away from being okay. Oklahoma's gotten some, like, decent wings. They need a five and a point.
Yeah, but, I mean, they lost everybody from last year. And, like,
Oklahoma's in the SEC. Sorry. That's the difference. I was like, why do I not see them in my chart? They're in the SEC.
Oh. Whoops. But yeah, Bryson Goodine and, like, the fourth or fifth best player from Long Beach State. Like Bryson Goodine's a fine take. Like, he's 100 years old. He's a very good athlete, and he shot the lights out. But, like, 2 years at Providence, he did nothing. 1 year at Syracuse, he did nothing. And 1 year at Fairfield, he was hurt. That's portal life. Anyway, who else in the Big 12?
UCF is, like, teetering. Their starting five is okay, but it's, like, really reliant on Mikey Williams being there.
I forgot all about Mikey Williams.
And Mikey Williams probably sucks. Texas Tech is in pretty good shape. Elijah Hawkins, Chance McMillan, Darian Williams, Devin Cambridge, Fede Federico, and Kevin Overton, Kerwin Walton. They just need, like, a big, which sounds like they're in on Asabor. Could be hard, but maybe. Also think they're recruiting Nate Santos. Sounds like they were the ones who tampered him into the portal.
Oh, I guess we should talk Kobe Brea for a minute, right? That was a big UConn thing. UConn talking point. Like, I've watched Dayton. I've seen Kobe Brea play a ton of times. Like, he's not very good. Like, he shot the lights out. Like, he's not athletic.
No. He doesn't have a ton of game.
Like, that Dayton team was not great.
Like, no, he's not, like, scared. You just have to face guard him. Like, he's a threat. Like, the way I would describe it with the way I would describe it with Kobe Brea is a lot of people are freaking out about, like, 49%, but, like, the functional difference between 49 and, like, 42 isn't even crazy. Like, why is Kobe Brea, like, substantially more recruited than, like, Ben Homercast? Why is Kobe, like, I think I would rather, I said this to someone, and we had a big argument about it. Like, I would have rather recruited Chibuzo Agbo, because Buzo is, like, a 40%+ shooter, and he's, like, an elite defender who guards multiple spots. Whereas, like, Brea is a good, like, okay defender, like, not great. You know, he's probably going to regress shooting the basketball. The year before, he shot 37, right? Like, if Brea shoots 43 or 44 next year, he's not better than any of these other guys.
And, like, we had a discussion where I think we both agreed that Brendan Hazen would be a better pickup than Kobe Brea.
He's off to K-State. Yeah. They've been, like, weirdly in flux. all the guards that were going to be behind Doug, so like Day-Day Ames and Quez Glover, they fled. They got
and Jones.
Yeah, they got Hassan. David Castillo should play. They just lost Arthur Kaluma. They're in the mix with Cliff. They're in the mix with a bunch of like money guys. They have a ton of money, but like I'm curious. Like, they took Bayfall. That was kind of weird. Like right now, I have them as Doug McDaniel, David Castillo, Brennan Hassan, David Engesson, and Bayfall with C.J. Jones, Taj Manning, and Caleb Rich off the bench and five scholarships open. In fairness, that's probably better than they've been at this time in the last 2 years.
Yes.
They've been needing a late maneuvers.
West Virginia just got Eduardo Andre from Fresno State, formerly Nebraska Cornhusker.
That's underwhelming. Extremely. 7.5 rebounds at Fresno.
So like talking through it, we've really established a have and have nots at the Big 12.
Yes.
Like the top looks insane. And then like talking through the middle bottom, I'm like not that impressed.
So I think what the top was Arizona, Baylor, Houston, Iowa State, and Kansas.
Yeah.
Then there's like a competitive middle top of Texas Tech.
Cincinnati.
Cincinnati, potentially TCU. They have Frankie Collins, Noah Reynolds, Brennan Wenzel, Ernest Uday. They're okay. And then Arizona State's like stupid talented. Like Jaden Quaintance, but like even before that, Alston Mason, BJ Freeman, Bashir Jihad. I'm just sure they're going to screw it up somehow. Like if I could bet, like if I could get odds right now of like Arizona State to lose over 0.5 bye games on Bovada, I would hammer it.
And then I think we throw Kansas State in that mix too.
Yeah, probably. And Tang is solid. I think BYU's probably creeps into that mix too. And then the bottom is like Oklahoma State, UCF, Utah, West Virginia, Colorado. Like those teams, like not like they're bad, but the problem is like the bar is much higher, right? Like if Colorado were in the ACC, I could like, you know, you could take one or two guys and be like, all right, like I think they'll be all right. Like because Colorado right now is like Trevor Baskin, Andre Jakimowski, and Elijah Malone. Like they need like, if they got like two competent portal guards in the ACC, be like, all right, like that team's probably like, you know, middle bottom. And now, it, you know, in the Big 12, it's like, all right, they're going to get murdered by Houston, murdered by Iowa State. I love the Josh Jefferson pickup for Iowa State. I think he's be awesome there.
And then I was about to say, oh, we forgot about Texas, but they're in a different conference.
They are in a different conference. So let's hit that final conference and then wrap this show up. I still think the amount of scholarships that Kentucky and Arkansas have are like putting a strain on the portal market because all the like good players should be going to other situations. Those guys are all like floating around. Like Brandon Garrison would be at Oklahoma right now if Cal didn't take Arkansas.
Yeah. And Kentucky's at least filling out the roster where they're basically almost done. Right? They'll get Brea and then a point guard and that's basically it. Maybe Jackson Robinson too.
Yeah, I would think they'll do Brea, Jackson Robinson, and a point guard. At which point they'll be like fine, right? Like that roster will be like probably like a top 25 ish roster. It's a lot of good point guard.
Yeah.
Yeah, it depends on the point guard. Like if this team is, how about this? If this team is Davion Smith, Lamont Butler, Kobe Brea, Andrew Carr, Brandon Garrison with Colin Chandler, Travis Perry, Otega Owe, and Amari Williams off the bench. What is that?
Probably top 25.
Yeah, it's good. It's just not great, right?
And then Arkansas has all the spots to fill where the guys who they've taken, you know, despite being high level freshmen, they're probably going to come off the bench, right? The only guy who they have right now who's definitely a starter is Jonas Adu. And then they just got John L. Davis.
Carter Knox is going to start.
Okay, that's three starters, right? John L. Davis, Carter Knox, Jonas Adu.
Did John L. announce, or are you just saying they're getting him?
No, he announced 10 minutes ago.
Borzella tweeted, visited, and is expected to sign. Or Goodman tweeted, is expected to sign.
Maybe.
Well, on three, he's like Mitch.
So
he's expected to sign. He hasn't committed. His preference is to go pro. Arkansas paying him more.
That's fine. That's three starters, and then they also need a point guard and a power forward. And then your bench will have Boogie Flan, Billy Richmond, Big Z, and then probably a couple other transfers. Is that team better than Kentucky?
I think it is.
Just barely.
I think it's a lot more talented. Like, Adu and Davis are, like, dudes. Like, I don't know that the Kentucky guys, any of them are, like, crazy.
Is like John L. Davis that much better than, like, Otega Owe?
I think he is. Yeah. I think he's a lot more game.
But the SEC at the top is probably Tennessee.
I think Tennessee is probably in the best shape right now. Especially if they get. Especially if they get, what's his name? Chaz Lanier, who's like a big, big deal on the portal.
So they got Igor Milicic from Virginia and Charlotte.
It seems like Milicic or Dubar. One of those two will start. Akpara starts at the five.
It's kind of a disaster that they lost both Awaka and Adu.
Like, but the figure was Adu. They got Akpara.
I know, but in terms of retention, Awaka would have been such a monster there in that system.
No question. I don't think Awaka would have left. Awaka wouldn't have left if he knew Adu was leaving.
Akpar is a nice consolation prize.
Yeah.
We'll bring the shot blocking. We'll rebound like Awaka does. And then you'll get a bigger role for JP Estrella.
I think the one team that I would be like very interested in potentially pushing, there's a couple teams, but one team I'm very interested in pushing Tennessee is Ole Miss. They've done a nice job in the portal. Padula, Dre Davis, Mekeil Brown-Jones, Malik Dia, they brought back Jamin Brakefield, they brought back Jalen Murray, and they're working on bringing back Matthew Morrell. Like, I'd be pretty high on that team.
Let's pull up T-Rank just so I can see where he has people.
I wonder if T-Rank has Morrell back. Let's see.
I'll check right now. He has Morrell not back and has him 31 without Morrell.
Yeah, that feels very low.
I forgot they got Sean Padula, too. Yeah, well.
Add senior departed. Yeah, well, let's add Morrell and Brakefield, who's back. Yeah, if we add those two guys, all of a sudden, Ole Miss goes up to 24. That should be higher. I'm confused by that. All right. Either way, not gonna like waste too much time worrying about the specifics of whether or not it broke through. I think he'll be good. I think Auburn has a chance to be pretty good with Broom back.
I mean, that's an all-American.
Yeah, I mean, he should be right in that conversation with RJ Davis for best player in the country. Alabama, a lot in, a lot out. Grant Nelson back. We'll see with Mark Sears. Sounds like they're, you know, going all in for a big. They got LeBaron Filan off of the Kansas scrap heap. Aiden Holloway coming in, Chris Youngblood's there. Like they have a lot of dudes. And I think if Sears is back, they're going to be like pretty darn special again. And if not, they could use like one more like stud. Because I don't know if they have a best player without, without Sears. I guess Grant Nelson could be. But
on T-Rank.
Onyenso.
So on a T-Rank with no Sears and you add in Cliff, they go from 28 to 19.
Interesting.
Chris Youngblood was a huge add.
Yes.
Aiden Holloway was a nice roll of the dice. Stevenson's back. So Alabama, I think, could push Tennessee and Auburn at the top here.
Yes, agreed. Let's see. Other teams. T-Rank
very high on Texas.
All the Indiana State guys grayed out really well. Plus, they, I mean, that's a decent roster, right? Jordan Pope, Trey Johnson, Tremon Mark, Jason Kent, Kendall, Caden Shedrick with, like, Kendall Weaver and Julian Larry off the bench. They need, like, a athletic – they need, like, a four-man, another four. They were recruiting Redis Petritus, and then he went to Cal because he didn't think he would start.
They need an athletic four, you say?
They need, like, a skilled four.
No. I was going to propose Dylan Mitchell.
Let's see, other team. Anyone I'm, like, super concerned about? I know you we mentioned Oklahoma being a bit of a worrisome one at the moment. Georgia's done a lot of weird stuff. Georgia's, like, losing everybody, but, like, keeping Silas and Blue Kane. They've brought Dakota LaFue and DeShane Montgomery in. And then their front court's just, like, loaded now. But they have Sompto Cyril, Asa Newell, Justin Abson, and they sound like they're the leader for RJ Godfrey.
Yes, he had crystal ball action today.
So they they need like one more like dude in the backcourt. Like, would they be a good AJ Hogard destination?
Not with Demery.
Well, Silas, they want to put off the ball.
I guess then. I mean, you'd have a huge physical backcourt.
Yeah, Georgia. So I wouldn't say Georgia's in trouble, but they need a guard. They've done some like weird stuff. LSU, like, I'm just not sure if the talent is there. They're like okay though. They like Cam Carter. That was like an early portal move before the season ended. Like before the season even ended, that was like kind of like, all right, like, you know, hard to like process. Mississippi State has all these small guards with Josh Hubbard, Clary, Claudel Harris. South Carolina swiped Cam Scott from Texas. They got Nick Pringle. They could be kind of interesting. They need, like, a point guard. Like, if I was South Carolina, I'm, like, begging my collective for, like, $700,000 to go get an elite point guard and, like, see how good we can be.
Yeah, a couple of weird rosters here. Missouri's roster's kind of weird. I mentioned LSU's going to have Jalen Cook, Jordan Sears, and Cam Carter. Three guards that go 5'11", 6', 6'3". Yeah, yeah. South Carolina, I guess Jacoby Wright is their point guard.
As of now.
Missouri sneaky got Mark Mitchell. I totally forgot that even happened.
I think as of now, I think Oklahoma might be the worst team in the league.
Yeah, because T-Rank has Arkansas, but that's just a matter of time, obviously.
Like, Vandy's done a nice job.
They have Vandy at 45.
That feels high, but like...
It feels very high for this roster, but...
Well, so the roster is Jason Edwards, Grant Huffman, Chris Mannion, MJ Collins, Devin McLaughlin, Van Allen Lubin, Tyler Nichol, Jalen Carey. That's like pretty good. But it's, again, it's just all transferred. Like what's the scale? Is that team 37th, 63rd, or 96th?
And that's like, again, 80% of the teams are going to be this way. Yeah. Texas A&M is toward the top.
I actually like them a lot.
Pharrell Payne was a nice add at the five.
Yeah.
I expect them to go, you know, Solomon Washington at the five. You know, him and Garcia together, 4-5, a bunch as well. Super old.
They're very deep, very old.
CJ, I'm a big George Turkson guy. They're fresh. I'm sure he's not going to play much, but he is a Texas A&M Buzz Williams type player, certainly.
Yes.
And then last but not least is your Florida Gators.
Oh, yeah, we didn't mention them. They're in good shape.
Yeah, so looking like the top two leagues, Big 12 and SEC.
AKA the teams with the most money.
Yeah.
I do think that's the setup so far. I think the story is the SEC has no bottom and that the Big 12 has a real bottom. That'll be the interesting thing.
And then just wanted to go over some potential destinations in case you were hearing anything. So Norchad Amir, the rumor was St. John's. Is that still a thing?
It seems to still be the rumor, yeah.
So they're going to play him and Zuby together?
I think no. I think they would play him and, like, Vince Iwachukwu. I think Vince is ahead of Zuby. Maybe I'm wrong.
Really?
Zuby famously... a 3-4, but he's more of like a 4-3. So I don't know. It is awkward. Like, it's not who I would have thought of them like spending all their money on. But I think they just want they want bigs.
Zuby famously ahead of Joel Soriano last year in the preseason. We mentioned Chaz Lanier, maybe Tennessee. Great Osabor, we're thinking maybe Louisville. Is that right?
I think it's probably a lean Louisville, but Washington and Texas Tech are right there.
Anything on Jalen Wells?
So he's going to go heavy through the draft process.
Okay.
But he'll have a big market.
Some other quiet guys. Max Schulga.
Academics are a problem there, supposedly.
Because,
again, he's another guy. He's been in school 4 years, hasn't graduated.
Desmond Claude, have we heard a place for him?
Some USC buzz. That would give him some juice.
If you're USC, would you rather have Desmond Claude or DJ Wagner?
¿Por qué no los dos?
Why not two, I guess you're saying?
Yeah, why not both?
Then some of these guys got a bail from USC. The old, hey, we called it the Ehab Amin for a reason.
But the problem is all these guys got paid. Like, USC paid Matt Nowling, like, $180,000. He's, like, not going to play. But, like, if you're Matt Nowling, are you walking away from – maybe, like, someone will be desperate enough to pay him, like, that same amount somewhere else. But, like, Matt Nowling's, like, a Loyola-level player. Like, he's a mid-major player – mid-plus player. Like, is he going to go back down and take 75 somewhere else because he realizes he's not going to play now? Like, I don't think he really thought he was going to play when he took the deal.
You mentioned A.J. Hogard earlier. Anything there? Is Georgia a possibility? Or was that just conjecture?
Mostly conjecture. Like, I do expect them to be, like, somewhat involved. But I don't know that they, like, are getting him. I think he has a big market. He's going through it slow. He's doing the draft stuff. He's not going to get anywhere in the draft. I just don't know, like, again, what's the mark. Like, I had thought Villanova, but then they took Jameer Brickus. So I kind of think that's, like, weird. Like, is Brickus scaring away Hogard? Probably not, but, like, why are you paying him and leaving, like, Armstrong floating? Like, it just feels weird.
If Armstrong leaves, you could definitely have Hogard and Brickus, but not all three. What about – so I saw Dayton for Posh Alexander. That's bizarre.
That's the truly buzz. And they need to see one go through the hoop with all that they've lost. Nate Santos, Kobe Brea, Deron Holmes is seemingly gone.
How about Kirk Creasa? I know he visited St. John's.
I would not be shocked if he is a fallback option for Kentucky now that Elijah Hawkins is off the board and Davion Smith is a question mark.
Okay, how about Wuga Poplar?
Not a great pulse for that one yet.
Dylan Mitchell, still nothing?
Don't have anything Dylan Mitchell, yeah.
How about former Villanova legend TJ Bamba?
I think maybe Memphis. had been early buzz about Florida, but it sounds like they don't have enough. They're not going to spend the money it would take.
One of my favorite portal guys, who I forgot about entirely, Tyron Lawrence.
Sounds like a bit of a headache there. Had been some early Georgia buzz. He's a Georgia kid. Don't know that he would go there at this point. But I don't know where else he'd go.
Another early portal guy here, Quadir Copeland.
I haven't heard anything there. I'm actually curious about it. It feels like he should be higher on people's boards.
Just scrolling through T-Rank here, see if I can find any other interesting names to bring up.
Sounds like FAU's got a kind of interesting team developing here. They have
Caleb Glenn. That's a nice pickup.
They got Caleb Glenn. I think they're going to get Baba Miller. They also got Leland Walker from EKU, who's pretty good. He was going to go to Tennessee and then wound up in Indiana, where like two schools buzzing for him. He's like a backup point guard, and he goes to FAU to start. So they're doing a good job. Let's see, any other portal names that I might know anything about? Let's look at the portal real quick.
Mongolian Mike?
No, I have no idea there. I mean, I also kind of think he sucks. Chaz Lanier, I think it's Maryland or Tennessee. Lean Tennessee. Duke Miles, it's like Auburn and Oklahoma. Matt Cross, I think it's probably like an Iowa lean at the moment. JT Toppin, I've heard like K-State will be involved money-wise. Texas will be involved money-wise. Alabama will try. I've heard a little Kansas for Javon Small, which would be interesting. The Zion James kid for Tulane was going to have a huge market. Like, he's a great get anywhere because he's like defends and shoots. Sounds like Lucy A. Patterson, the kid for Charlotte, is going to go to Minnesota, be their point guard to replace Hawkins.
Is it Bronny James still Duquesne?
I think he's going to go pro, but if he doesn't, I think he's probably going to Duquesne. And honestly, kind of sucks if you're Duquesne. Like, they haven't been able to recruit any, like, ball handlers because, like, they can't, you know, Bronny needs the ball if he's going to go there. But, like, he might not come, and it's, like, June, you know, it's going to be June 1st probably before he makes a decision.
How about Miro Little? That's a nice pickup for somebody.
I was thinking FAU with Jakus, but I could be wrong. That one I don't have any like sourced information on.
Probably it for the interesting guys. I'm getting kind of low in the portal here.
It is getting thin. Yeah, I think that's about it.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else, Brad? Should we wrap it up?
That's all I have.
All right. We'll be back. We'll do a couple more episodes as we wind this thing down towards the draft. I would imagine the draft will be about when we're done, get through the decision deadline. But maybe do one more like around the combine and then one around decision day and then call it quits. But appreciate y'all listening again. Thanks for all the support. We'll keep plugging away with it, and you guys know where to find us. So thanks.